Good evening. Welcome to our Thursday evening gathering on our computer screens. The majority are actually not in the Parisian time zone. I see tonight. So thank you for coming early in your evening. In my life as a Zen teacher, I'm part of the White Plum lineage, as you well know, and all of the teachers in that lineage are part of an email group, and we exchange messages and things. And there are more than 200 teachers now in that group. And in the past week, I would say, yeah, probably the past week, someone shared a teacher who I don't know. I'm not even sure who his teacher was or anything, but shared an initiative for faith leaders of different denominations, so Buddhist, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, to started by this group in Minneapolis, which we all have heard of now because it's kind of become the epicenter of everything that's happening in America. And it was started by this group of faith leaders in Minneapolis. And it just asked people who wanted to, faith leaders who wanted to connect to one of their site or something. And it was a link. And on that link, it was the video of the guy who had been killed, which everybody has seen anyway, but and they wanted then the teacher or the leader to just react, not emotional, just give their testimony of what they saw. I see this, I see this, I see this, I saw that, I see this, and that's it. Just what you see. No emotions, no opinions. Not taking sides or just what you saw, and ask people to do that. And then they were going to accumulate this and see what came out of it and maybe give it to the authorities or something. Just so they would have a database of spiritual people just saying what they saw with no opinions. This guy, this White Plum teacher, shared it with the whole group. And then a few days later, he wrote back saying he had received a message from someone either in our group or in two other groups that he's a part of, which are Zen teachers from different lineages in America, that he had also shared it with. And someone had written back to him saying that he thought it was inappropriate for him to share his political opinions in a group of Zen teachers. And it was kind of an angry message. And that was telling him he should basically stop and not do this. So this guy was very surprised at this message. And so he's forwarded it to us, to our group, without saying who sent it, which was good. You know, he didn't tell us who sent it. And because he's a relatively new teacher, he wondered if maybe he had violated something about the group. Maybe he shouldn't have shared that. Maybe it was too political, although he didn't think it was political at all. It wasn't asking for any opinions, it was just asking for what you see. So, and he felt that for him, this was Zen work. This was bearing witness to a situation of suffering in our time, and he felt like it was Zen work. So he's asking for our opinions. So many people on this email group offered their opinions, a lot of different teachers. And so I didn't respond to it, but I've been reading the opinions and sort of got to wondering, so was he taking a position by sharing that? How can we be sure we're not taking an opinion when we just say what we saw? And the best way I know of doing that is to really follow the path of not knowing. So dropping all ideas, opinions, positions, fixed thoughts, whatever, and then bearing witness. So letting go of everything you think, ICE is bad. That guy was bad. He shouldn't have had a gun. They shouldn't have, all of these, he should, shouldn't, all of these things, right? Drop all that and just testify to what you see. Just bear witness to it. And what, I found really encouraging was that all of these reflections on how we can meet the sufferings of our times, whatever those sufferings are, however we define suffering, and feeling the call to engage and respond to the suffering, whether you're a spiritual leader or a spiritual practitioner. this happened to involve leaders, but it applies to all of us on this screen. How do we respond to any situation, whether it's our own suffering, the sufferings of others? And can we, even use this situation as an invitation to become aware of the diversity of opinions and sensitivities that are at work? Even here on this screen, we all have different opinions, sensitivities. As I've said, because I was born and raised in Minneapolis, I lived there until I moved to France. I have a different sensitivity to that city than you do. Nobody else on this screen has probably even been to Minneapolis or even really heard much about it, except through me, right? And I don't really even talk about it much either, although I was just there in October. So we all have our different sensitivities and our potential opinions. So how can we fill our bodhisattva vow to ease suffering without being caught by our ideas and our opinions and our particular sensitivities? Someone, I think it was in the study group, someone mentioned the elections in Portugal. So for all of the Portuguese people, that is a very present issue. Most people in France weren't even aware that there were elections in Portugal, unless they really are following the news, as a French commentator writing about Minneapolis said, yeah, how could, no one would have expected that une ville moyenne, so like just a middle of the road city that no one can even point out to on the map. Speak for yourself, lady. But who would even imagine that something like this could happen there, that the people would rise up? That she's coming from a really fixed position. She agreed, she thought it was wonderful what was happening in Minneapolis with the population, but she had all these fixed ideas about the place and the people and how it should be and, where things should happen and where they shouldn't. So how can we fulfill our vow to save all sentient beings without getting caught by our ideas? And that's where this whole path of not knowing comes in, to not be caught with our ideas, whether it involves a koan, okay, so in this, well, every moment is a koan, but an official koan. So we have this koan, we have mu, or we have how do you stop the sound of one hand, or whatever your koan is. And we have all these ideas about it. Well, we have to let go of them all, or we will never, ever have an experience of that koan, a direct, intimate experience of it. And there's a that can apply to everything. And I was reminded of in Bernie Glassman's book, Infinite Circle. I don't remember in what context, but he talks about two ways of looking at a tree. And he said the first way is you can break it down into all of its components: the bark, the leaves, the branches, the trunk, the roots, water, sunlight, the kind of tree, the size of tree, the color of tree, all of this. And you can break it all down and eventually come to seeing that it's one body. Because you've seen that, that the cells, the seed, the tree, the sunlight, the water, it all is one, right? Okay, but this involves a long process, a rational process of breaking it down. Or he said the other way to see it is to just look at it and see that it's one body without breaking it down. So his wife, Eve, asked him, kept insisting, well, how can people just look at it without breaking it down and see that it's one body, And Bernie kept saying, just look at it, just look at it. He resisted taking something that's deeply intimate and direct. He resisted making that into a rational explanation, right? And his answer was not knowing. The way to really see the tree without breaking it into all of its components and see that it's one and see that you are one with it is not knowing, is letting go of all your ideas about it, letting go of all the components of the tree and all of your components and how what separates you from the tree and all of the water and the sunlight and all of that, the trees, the roots, the branches, there's not knowing, drop it all. And that we can apply to any situation, right? We can become outraged about suffering, whether it's, famine, murder, oppression, injustice, cutting your finger, breaking your leg, whatever the suffering is. We can become completely fixated on the causes of it, and resist that. Becoming fixated on the causes is really a way of resisting feeling it. It's a way of keeping it out. Whereas if we engage in not knowing, well, then we let it all in. We no longer try to keep it contained or keep it outside of ourselves. If we, our underlying tendency is to resist. It's aversion. What is painful? What is uncomfortable? What is this dissatisfaction? What doesn't fit with how we want the world to be? Our tendency is to resist. But if we give up that resistance by not knowing is a huge pulling back from resistance. Well, then we come to the end of suffering, which is what our practice is about. Now, all of these, reflections that teach that all of these teachers were sharing on my listserv, there was most of it was, stand up and bear witness. Well, in order to stand up and bear witness, you have to drop your positions. Stand up for nonviolence, someone said. Well, already there's a program there, right? Standing up and nonviolence. We know what that means, right? We do know that. However, we have to be, we have to really pay attention to all of that. What does that mean? Or someone said, speak truth to power. Ooh, there's a huge agenda there. So, what is truth? What is power? What is speaking? We know what that means, okay? We know. But one person's truth is not another truth, Others said, we need to reflect to find the appropriate response within the reality of the present moment, which that, that com brings us to the not knowing and the bearing witness. The appropriate response then comes after we have let go of our ideas about the present moment and the situation. We bear witness to it once we have borne witness to it. Then that appropriate response arises. And we don't know when we begin what that appropriate response might be. As someone I read recently, just yesterday, I think, someone wrote, no one expected the revolution to start in Minneapolis except Prince. So Prince, the singer Prince, was from Minneapolis. His band was called The Revolution. So he was known as Prince and the Revolution. So this was a joke saying that nobody knew that Minneapolis was going to behave the way they're behaving and starting this whole new approach to defying, this oppression and this fascist, even saying oppressive fascist regime is too much, is too much. No one knew that Minneapolis would respond in this way. I tend to think that the people in Minneapolis knew they would respond this way, although they didn't really because they didn't know what was going to happen. So this is really interesting. Nobody knew because everybody came with not knowing. It was such a new situation that nobody knew anything. And then something arises from it, some kind of response arises. On this list of Zen teachers, there were some people who were proning more for, we have to be really careful with engagement. We have to don't make it political. We have to be, kind of the traditional Zen stance of not engaging, right? Which is very different than, the modern Zen, which is to social action, engage. And someone wrote this really interesting thing. This guy, I don't know who this teacher is either, but he wrote, Zen without engagement in the rough realities of the here and now is like trying to play tennis without a ball. Such players may have a powerful swing, but how are they going to serve? Really nice metaphor, right? So, you may be this, super brilliant Zen teacher with a beautiful sangha and a, a zendo and, thriving meditation practice and workshops and things. But, if you don't go out there, if it doesn't, if it's not have, if it's not taking action in everyday life, how are you going to serve? And everyday life means, in your own kitchen, in your neighborhood, in your family. It doesn't only mean, huge political, geopolitical events, right? So. How do we meet the, how do we meet suffering? And this is kind of just generic term, suffering, because what is suffering? How do we define suffering? Whether it's people being, abused, whether it's, someone losing their keys in the street, a child being separated from its parents, whatever it is, how do we respond to that suffering within ourselves and elsewhere? Because actually, if we really look at the tree and see that it's one, then there is no elsewhere. And there is no within ourselves and without ourselves. It's all us, So how do we respond to that? And sometimes the situations are so complex, and they seem just, we feel powerless. We have no idea how to react. And someone said, well, the escape from that discomfort and that inability and that feeling of powerlessness is not knowing. We would think that the escape, that it's an escape to get away from the situation, but it's actually an escape to go into the situation. When we drop our ideas, then all kinds of things become apparent. All kinds of different possible positions and beliefs and sensibilities become apparent. If we think that everyone thinks like me, and that everyone, that there's only one truth, well, then we can't really see the situation. So, there's all kinds of Buddhist teachings about this too, the thing of resisting is going against. And when we drop that going against, then the resistance is no longer. The stress of that resistance is no longer if we drop the going against. It doesn't mean we are going with, it just means we're not going against. Which, might equate going with, but the point is to no longer go against. And going against, implies separation. That implies me and the situation, me and the pain, me and the despair, me and the anger, whatever. We don't resist. So, these reflections, they apply to nothing was really, there were no conclusions drawn from this discussion on this email group of teachers. And their point was not to come to some conclusion. It was just this guy asking if maybe he had overstepped the bounds. Maybe this was not an appropriate place to share this information. Most everyone assured him that it was an appropriate place and that everyone saw it as the mission of the White Plum Group is to come together and continue Maizumi Roshi's Zen work. And it's an affinity group where we share how we share our Zen work. And most everyone on this, group felt that this was Zen work, opening to, something that we could maybe help shed some light on a situation that is full of suffering as Zen teachers. So at the same time, the other group that I belong to with an email group is the Buddhist Healthy Boundaries group. And in a completely unrelated situation, a group reached out to us asking if we would like to, would be interested in joining a coalition of faith groups again, who works to pass legislation and support for victims of sexual and domestic abuse. And they lobby governments and they try to pass laws and things like this. And so, we were discussing this, and the majority of us, I was the first one to respond. I said, I think this is a great initiative, but this is not what our mission is. Our group, Buddhist Healthy Boundaries, is about helping Buddhist communities work with power within their communities and set up ethics statements and make it possible for people to practice together in a healthy way. It's not about making policy about domestic violence, right? So, again, it's not saying that this is a bad initiative these people are doing, but it just doesn't apply to what our work is. So this was a case where we said, thank you for the invitation, but no. It involves, dropping an idea about what is appropriate and not, looking at the situation, bearing witness to it, and then responding. And our group felt we all stepped back, not knowing, bearing witness, and then our appropriate reaction was, no, thank you. This doesn't really apply to what our work is. And we have situations like this all throughout our lives, every moment. It so happens that our moment is, full of all kinds of turmoil. So we really have a lot of opportunities to do this, to put this into practice. And that's what our work is about. That's what our practice is about. So I will stop talking now. I just wanted to share with you what, what Zen teachers are talking about amongst themselves. And if that resonates with you, or if you have any reflections or comments, it would be wonderful to hear them.
Hello, everyone. First of all, sorry for my ignorance. I don't know what happened in Minneapolis. Then, it seems to me that it's really helpful for our society and in my point of view, welcome when Zen teachers, for example, act and talk what they see, and because most of us don't see the tree from a not knowing perspective. We watch in a more fixed perceptions and things, and so it seems important to me that the ones who can more in a more stable way or more clear way to see the world without so much personal perspectives or polluted perspectives or fixed perspectives should it's not should but should manifest them, express them. So, and of course, sometimes at least in the way I stand, it's needed to look at the tree or problem or whatever in when there is a disease or something is affecting, sometimes it's needed to see the parts. See, oh, it's this that's affecting the causality, the conditionality of things. It's not saying that we have to lose the oneness of it. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel. So this was a wonderful example of my coming to the situation and assuming something, right? Assuming that everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? This is really a blind spot, when we do that. So this is a great, I couldn't have found a better example. So this is wonderful. So thank you, Miguel. And we do that all the time, right? In subtle and enormous ways.
It's just my ignorance because I don't watch TV, you know.
It doesn't matter, there's no like it's just a really good example,
This is really interesting. It's interesting that this comes up because this was a question that came up very often at Donna. Of course, I haven't been there since last June, but I was going for the last 3 or 4 years, and actually I was wary because most of the people at Donna seem to be on the same page about what do we mention. That's not directly in the text, and I don't necessarily have an intuitive feel for this, so I shut up until somebody else talks. But the person that was very often sort of put me wise to what was going was Philippe, because we do when we start at 10, we work until 11, 15 or something. And then Philippe and I would go out and smoke a cigarette. Well, Philippe smoked these little kind of disgusting cigars, and I smoked a cigarette out in the garden. And then he would tell me about what he was really thinking about. For example, when the whole situation in Gaza began, right after the bombings and everything, no mention was made during the text study of it at all. And I was kind of, well, when are we going to talk about this? But I don't want to be the leader. I mean, it's not my sangha, first of all, and I don't want to stick out. So we go out in the garden and have these long, and Philippe knew a lot about the geopolitical situations that I didn't know about, so I sort of feed on what he was getting to. And then we go back inside and be Zen students. But there was an obvious, as a matter of fact, a few times he said, I wouldn't mention this. Not even saying, don't mention this, Debbie, but I wouldn't mention this during the study. I wouldn't want to bring the ambiance down or cast a shadow or sort of make things sad when we're talking about the text. So that's Donna. And then, I mean, one of the reasons why I really appreciate Wildflower is thanks to Amy's past and to who we are and everything else. And the internationalness of it all, we very often do inform each other. I don't know anything about Portuguese politics except what you all show me. I don't follow them or look into it or anything. That it can be addressed as a Zen subject, and not sort of, it's in bad taste to mention a political situation in a text study. Because the same thing, remember when Queen Elizabeth died? There was sort of a feeling of, let's not bring up, what's the thing in French? Ne parlons pas de choses qui fâchent. Let's keep this to a Zen agenda. So I'm delighted when the agenda opens up. And at the same time, it is, I mean, is there any way to look at the situation the last couple of weeks in Minneapolis without having a political position? I don't know how to do it. I'm maybe Bernie and Mamie, but I can't, I don't know how to do it myself, but why not? I mean, it's not that different than studying a tree. I can't get back that far, but I can hear that that would be an interesting place to look at it from. I can't hear it very loud. I want to be up there mad, or I cried all day Monday, but be emotionally involved. But it's, I mean, it is, it's an interesting point of view, let's put it that way. So I feel much more normal in a situation where there are not subjects that we can't look at. Now, if everybody says this is boring or this doesn't apply, I'll go off and do my own thing. But that's not what happens here, so thank you very much, Hershey.
Good evening, everyone. So I also didn't know about Minneapolis, but I get it. Just to share, this is political, not very zen, but in our presidential elections, some commenters think that Portugal may be the last country giving an election winning to the left. We don't know still about Deutschland, but we have a problem of the rising of the, we call it extreme right. I think in English it's far away right. The revolutionary from Minneapolis. I think it's important for some sounds, some movements of people globally not accepting this rising that we are all witnessing and historical we see a lot of danger. Thank you, Amy Roche, for your talk. I love it. Oh, about not knowing and bear witnessing. Most of the time, when I'm with my children, I have the vantage of unconditional love. But that doesn't happen for everyone in the same way. And I inspire. I get inspired. I try to be inspired by Hoshi in the DocuSense because I know she really bear witness to you. She really goes not knowing. In that contest, I can try to be inspired. How can she do it when you know that something is happening, that it's really not okay, and but she can be there with whom, wherever it is, and bear witness or not knowing or not judging, despite if that doesn't make it or her or me, if I can do that, you don't always have to act just by bear witness. You can hear a lot of suffering, a lot of wrongdoing, a lot of bad stuff just by training it. And then Roshi said, and I write it, but I don't see, I'm starting not to see at all, about not fixating in the causes. Let me see what I wrote. Not fixating in the causes. Not knowing, bear witnessing, and dropping the going against can slow down the resisting. This is my notes, the bad English, a basic one. Then I think, but I can understand this, but fixating the causes on my own causes. Usually childhood, whatever, situations that condition me to now, blah, 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 blah. And We know the causes, our own causes. We kind of tend to get on loop by them. Sometimes I think we give space from some wisdom to arrive and understand, leave the causes, leave the subject. Okay, I'm losing. But bear witness, not knowing. But if you know it, what do you mean when we are in a loop of our own causes to. No, it's not what w w do you mean? Is c could you help a bit more clarity for me, at least, if I made myself. I don't know. I hear myself beginning to be confused, and I think it's because it touches me when I go to myself, of course. Thank you.
So it was the question about the causes of what? Of the suffering or the
You said to not to fixate on the causes.
Right, because that first step of just bearing witness of not knowing, you drop what you think is the cause, how you got there, whatever the situation is, you drop that.
The story.
Right, whatever the st yeah story,
Yeah.
maybe it's a story, opinion, desires, whatever it is, expectations, disappointments, something like that. And you just take a step back and you don't hang on to all of those things, and that's what not knowing means. So it's it's like Bernie said about the tree, without breaking down the tree and seeing all the different parts and how they work together. You just stand there and look at the tree. So, I mean, that's kind of this is an easy example in a sense, because just stand there and look at what's happening in your anger, your fear, your depression, or whatever it is. It's hard. But that's the first step, is just try not to hang on to whatever it is. Not know. And that entering that space of not knowing is really powerful, actually, when we can get there. It sounds like we're arriving someplace, but it's actually our natural place. That's who we truly are, is not knowing. We then add all the other stuff on, and we take positions, and we've had conditioning, and we've learned to die like this and dislike that, and but actually, if we go before all of that stuff is added on, our natural state is not knowing. And then we just bear witness from that not knowing. We just see what is there. Then from that, we say, comes, the appropriate action. So, you just see that. So in Minneapolis, basically, this army is taking children out of schools and breaking people's cars and has killed two people in the street. And you see this happening. You just bear witness without judging it. You just say, oh, this is, wow, I can feel the suffering, but okay, what is this about? And you bear witness to it, and then you know how to react. So these people in Minneapolis decided they would not react with violence. They would react with their phones, filming it all with whistles. So, huge, there's a huge network of people who have all got together with, chat groups and everything. And whenever there's some sort of interaction going on with this army, basically, and civilians, they blow the whistles and everybody comes out and, contests it and films it all. So it's all out there to see, for the world to see, They're not reacting by burning buildings down, attacking the forces, rioting. It's all peaceful. A lot of singing of songs, coming together to the immigrants are afraid to go out of their houses. So people deliver food to them, take their kids to school, pick them up and bring them home from school, do whatever they need to, so people don't have to leave their homes because they're afraid to go out, because they might get taken up by this army. So this involves just stepping back, I don't know, bearing witness to the situation and then reacting accordingly. But it's not easy, it's true. When especially when it's something really deep within ourselves.
Thank you.
Hello, good evening. Can you hear me well? So one concrete example is my ongoing resistance to actually doing what I'm doing now, which is to speak. And what usually happens is I notice that I want to speak, and then I think, oh no, there's something I'm not speaking, I can't speak, I can't speak, and I start thinking about why I'm not able to speak. And I get lost into the causes. So yeah, I am ignoring that thing now and just sharing that that's a reality for me. And it's usually online, in which I know it's a problem as well. But yeah, it's good to see you guys all the time, even when I'm in silence.
So thank you. And I guess I don't know, but in order to be able to, click, unmute and speak, there had to be some involvement of dropping your ideas and opinions and positions. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And so then something very different happens then. Yeah. So you see, it's every moment has an opportunity for this. Well, if no one would like to add anything else, this seems like a good place to stop. Thank you. Oh, Marjolaine wants to add something.
Just a small thing. I received this evening from a friend about Minneapolis still a song that was written by Bruce Springsteen. I pass it on to Debbie. Maybe you didn't have time to listen to it. Did you hear it? Just listen to it.
Yeah, I did,
It's
yeah.
I just got home on. Thank you.
yeah, it's listening to it and reading the text, I felt like going back to the 70s. It was like a protest song from when we were young and we still believed in something or something like that. And yeah, it was really an amazing experience to listen to it and to realize that people are standing up in their way with the means they have. Which can be a song, or it can be a poem, or it can be something. So you can look for it on the internet. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. And he wrote that Saturday after the second person was killed. And then there's a British guy, Billy Bragg, maybe you've heard of, I don't know, an English musician who also wrote one. His is called City of Heroes, and Springsteen's is called Streets of Minneapolis. So yeah. Claudia, you raised your hand too? No? Oh no, okay, you were waiting.
No, I was wondering, okay, you said, okay, I'm going to, I thought you put it on the WhatsApp group, but no, it's on the, okay, I will
Are you put it on the
watch.
WhatsApp
No,
group?
I felt, so I was watching, but it's
I
okay.
can do it, but I don't want to charge the WhatsApp group too much with.
It's okay, I will go on the internet. I don't know the song.
I can send it to you.
Put it in this group. Sometimes we can bend the rules. I'm kidding if it's okay.
In the WhatsApp chat or on this chat here? I had both of them open as I sent them to somebody else this afternoon, but I don't know what happened to them.
Because my microphone is open, I would like to say something. I was not planning to say it, but I'm going to say it. I was just to, I don't know why, I'm very touched because Thiago spoke tonight. So I was just telling you that sometimes we think that, I don't know, I know how much it's powerful the way that you speak tonight, just because sometimes I'm missing your voice during these nights. And I don't know if you can imagine how strong it is to hear your voice, and it fulfilled my heart tonight. So I'm happy. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, those are great things to hear too for people, right? Well, thank you.
We stop here.